Welcome to the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today, we're going to run through a list of recent news announcements that have come across our desk in the last week and have a bit of a chat about recent local store reports. First thing in our news, covered in our SWNZ News Digest, which you can check out on our website. The ABC News website has an article with a video documentary that they've entitled Making of a Space Monster. It takes a look at the, what they call it, Space Opus, or the Summer Verminoth, the creature that Han, Lando and crew encounter while making the Kessel Run in Solo, a Star Wars Story. It's quite a good little documentary video embedded in that article, about 6 minutes long, I think. It shows a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, the building of the digital models of the creature and the decisions behind the gory animation associated with that.
For fans that enjoy watching some of the behind-the-scenes footage from films, you may notice that this clip also shows George Lucas on some of the sets. It's always fun to see him, particularly involving the Millennium Falcon, back to connecting to A New Hope.
That was quite an interesting little sideline. He was there present with at the same time as Ron Howard. Something interesting that showed up in the past week and was spread pretty widely around the internet at the time, we've linked to it again in the SWNZ Digest, a 1980 Empire Strikes Back documentary entitled The Making of the Empire Strikes Back by journalist Michael Parbeau has surfaced, and a full version is available on YouTube to watch. It's about an hour long, and it's in the style of the old late 1970s, early 1980s making of documentaries, that, such as The Making of Star Wars. Hasn't been seen in its entirety pretty much since it was broadcast. We watched this all the way through. It's got a very nostalgic feel. The resolution isn't great. It's maxes out at about 480 on YouTube, but it's definitely worth checking out to see some behind the scenes footage that I haven't seen before, and to also sort of get that real historic feel as we look behind the scenes of the making of that movie.
There's lots of neat behind the scenes footage from the Hoth scenes filming in Norway, the weather conditions they experienced, getting the on-location effects for the Tauntaun and the Wampa, and the difficulties in achieving that in the sort of pre-digital era, and just being able to see some of the actors talking about their experiences in that era, it's a really neat watch.
I love seeing, those Hoth scenes are great. I particularly like seeing, I think they used soldiers for a lot of the actual rebel troopers, seeing them all in costume. The full turrets and laser cannons, radar laser cannons that they have on set in those makeshift trenches. They went to a lot of trouble in pretty unforgiving conditions to make aspects of that film. If you are a fan of the original trilogy and Empire Strikes Back in particular, do check that out. Links are on our website. It's a new digital online series being shown on the Star Wars YouTube channel entitled Our Star Wars Stories. These are hosted by Jordan Hembra, Toy Hunter of the Toy Hunter TV series fame. He is teamed up with Lucasfilm to shine a spotlight on fans around the US. The first episode is screened. It features conversations with Alban Johnson, who started the 501st Legion Costuming Club. Jordan talks to Alban for about 12 minutes in this documentary, and they have a chat about the making of the 501st and Alban's personal story, talking about his daughter who sadly passed away some time ago now, and R2KT and the connection between that and the 501st and the movies. And if you're not familiar with that story, it's told well and it's worthwhile, worth checking out.
We've both been in the 501st costuming community and the wider Star Wars costuming community for many years, and it's neat to see how these groups come to being, you know, fans finding each other in the relatively pre-internet era, finding fellow Star Wars costuming fans that had Stormtrooper armor in the late 90s and connecting together and slowly coming together to form a costuming organization. It's a neat story, and he's got some personal photos to share of him wearing his Stormtrooper armor by himself at events because he hadn't found anyone else that shared his hobby, and then seeing the photos as the 501st Legion grew at each successive convention leading through to the massive parade that they did in 2007, and of course his very touching story about his daughter and the creation of R2KT, who was actually included in both the Clone Wars animated series and had some little cameo appearances in The Force Awakens. So it's a really neat video to check out if you're a fan of Star Wars costuming or just interested in fan stories in general.
It's a well done documentary. It's very easy to watch. It's obviously has a strong emotional element to it, but it is going to be interesting because they pan it. I think they're going to do about a half a dozen of them. I think this is probably the longest one. I think the other ones are slated to be a little less than 10 minutes long, but it will be interesting to see what other aspects of the fandom they cover. We'll be keeping an eye out on those. They come out weekly on Tuesdays US time, so about Wednesdays New Zealand time. We'll probably talk about the next one at our next podcast. Next news item in the SWNZ News Digest, there is a preview of the upcoming art book Star Wars Woman of the Galaxy on StarWars.com. This is an art book due out at the end of this month. It features over 100 striking illustrations by 18 different artists covering 75 female Star Wars characters.
This is a really neat collection of art. Most art books are themed around a film or a particular era. This one spans everything. It's got animated characters through to film characters, and it's a really neat celebration of all these female Star Wars characters by some really talented artists. I am definitely keen to check this out in person. The preview images are really pretty.
So there's a gallery of five or six large images on StarWars.com. I'm looking forward to this book. I love most of the art of type books that have any sort of Star Wars content, and this looks to be no exception. If I remember correctly, because it covers so many female Star Wars characters, 75 I think is what they're mentioning at this point, I think some of the characters that they're showing, this will be the first time they've been shown rather than just talked about in novels.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. There's some characters like in the Lost Stars novel where there are some significant female characters that haven't really been illustrated to the same extent as the characters that we see on film or in comic books. So it's neat to see some of these other prominent female characters explored a little more.
So that book is due out literally at the end of this month. We've put links that you can pre-order it either from Mighty Ape for about $52 or from Book Depository. Comes internationally and takes a little bit longer but a little bit cheaper, $44-$45 from Book Depository. Both of those links are on SWNZ. Still on the topic of StarWars.com, they have posted an interview with Erin Kellyman, the actress who played Enfys Nest in Solo: A Star Wars Story. They talked to her about her reaction to getting the role, discovering the costume, the scenes that she played, and it's interesting to hear a little bit more from this character, who was one of the many well-kept secrets in Solo: A Star Wars Story until her helmet removal and reveal late in that actual film.
She talks about auditioning alongside Alden Ehrenreich in her third audition, and she talks about preparing and training for the stunt aspects of her role, including during the audition process. A lot of the staff fighting and even some of the high jumps, it's actually her performing it, even under the mask. So it was really neat to read more about her behind-the-scenes experiences.
Yeah, so she's doing all the swoop bike work against the blue screen and so forth. Also in the news, we hear that Kathleen Kennedy's relationship and role with Lucasfilm has been extended for another 3 years. The Hollywood Reporter covers this in depth. They also mention a few other aspects of the future plans for the Star Wars franchise. They discuss that the near future of Star Wars lies in television, with the Kennedy-led Lucasfilm planning on expanding the universe with new characters in that medium. We'll come back to the topic of television because there's been a few other breaking news highlights related to upcoming television series that we'll get to very shortly. Last in our general news wrap-up, Musterbrand, the apparel manufacturer, you talked to the CEO, the founder, just recently on the Kessel Runway website, didn't you? Tell us about that.
Yes, the Musterbrand is a geek apparel brand that got their start with video game licenses, and after a few years of really proving themselves, got the Star Wars license and have been making costume inspired jackets and knitwear and apparel and even footwear in recent years. And I had the wonderful opportunity to be able to interview the CEO of Musterbrand, Knut Birgil, and talk to him about the processes of designing apparel, the trickiness of designing apparel for movies that haven't come out yet, and how they sort of take the inspiration from costumes and turn them into, as he termed, galactic streetwear. It's a really neat sort of behind the scenes look at a Star Wars licensed company, and it was a wonderful pleasure to be able to talk to him for a bit.
So they mentioned that they're branching into children's wear a little bit in the near future, didn't they, just in this interview? That's the first time I've heard that bit of information. And we're expecting to see some new products from them pretty soon, aren't we?
Yes, they've been teasing that they've got some new Star Wars items coming soon, so I'm very looking forward to that. They ship internationally, which is great. A lot of the American-based apparel brands don't ship internationally, or they're restricted for licensing regions. Mr. Brand is based in Germany, and they ship internationally, including their men's footwear lines, their women's and men's swimwear, jackets, knitwear. They even stock Star Wars t-shirts and hoodies. So if you haven't seen their range before, you should check them out at MrBrand.com. We'll put links below.
The latest episode of The Star Wars Show has just screened. They talk about a few different things that relate to Darth Vader and his expanded backstory. We touch again on the ILM X-Lab Vader Immortal virtual reality series that we're expecting to see next year in 2019, with an exact release date to be confirmed. The Vader Immortal series is a virtual reality experience going to be released in a serial format on the Oculus Quest, but also on the topic of Darth Vader and his Mustafar Palace. They announced and showed off an Amazon exclusive Lego Darth Vader's castle set. It's available for pre-order now for US $129.99 from Amazon only. We'll put a link below this video for that as well. This set has over 1,000 pieces, comes with 5 minifigures, Darth Vader's custom personal TIE fighter and a hangar at the base of the castle. It's a multi-storied playset that really lets you recreate the scenes that you've seen in Rogue One.
It shows some of the rooms that we see in Rogue One, like the chamber with his Bacta tank and sort of a landing pad, but it's kind of almost like a little sort of Sith Lord stronghold. It's Darth Vader's house, as a sense, which is quite neat. It comes with different Darth Vader minifigs. One of them is even his Bacta tank version, where he's not wearing armor. It's going to be quite a sought after set, being so restricted with its limited availability. No word yet if Amazon will ship this internationally, but keen Lego collectors in New Zealand should be able to source this from Amazon via mail forwarding services like NZ Post's UShop or a US mail based system like MyUS. The set is number 75251.
It's quite interesting that doing a bit of a focus on Darth Vader's castle at this point in time with both the ILM X-Lab project and this Lego set. There's also coming out around the time of Halloween, from IDW Publishing, the Tales from Vader's Castle comic series. This is 5 issues released weekly, so over a short span, and then they'll be collected in a trade paperback, aimed at a slightly younger audience that are set in the proximity of Darth Vader's castle on Mustafar, but telling a number of different stories from around the Star Wars universe. Okay, so we covered quite a bit of news in the SWNZ Digest when that was published on Wednesday, New Zealand time. But there's actually been a couple of breaking news items that have hit the internet since that time would really think are worth touching on. The New York Comic Con starts Friday, New Zealand time, and the schedule for that, for all Star Wars related events, has been published online. It's worth taking a quick look at that, because it spans all the way from Friday through to our Monday, and the schedule lets us know what sort of information we'll be seeing coming online and in what order. So first up on Friday, there will be more discussion about that Star Wars Woman of the Galaxy art book we just mentioned,
which will have the author and a few of the artists participating on the panel.
On Saturday, there's going to be a panel related to the Our Star Wars Stories YouTube series that we were just talking about as well. Also on Saturday, a preview reveal, not sure exactly what that's going to entail, from Hasbro, but Hasbro and their product reveals are always extremely popular at Comic Cons and Toy Fairs, so we look forward to seeing what comes out of that. Moving on to Sunday, Disney Lucasfilm presents a celebration of female writers in a galaxy far, far away. And on Monday, New Zealand time, quite early, at a time that equates to 6:15 a.m. on Monday, Hasbro will be doing their full product panel. Okay, and last but not least in the breaking news, the Jon Favreau live-action television series that we've heard about, but not a lot of detail has been revealed just yet, got quite a big boost today when Jon Favreau posted both on Instagram and his Facebook page a simple yellow text on black background, very brief synopsis of the TV series that was accompanied with what appeared to be a title for that series. So We believe it's going to be called The Mandalorian. And the text he posted reads like this: after the stories of Jango and Boba Fett, another warrior emerges in the Star Wars universe. The Mandalorian is set after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order. We follow the travails of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. To be continued. I think this is an exciting time. I love the point in time when we're building up to a new television series or movie where we just start to get new information. Obviously, this isn't visual or pictorial, but it does give us a definite tease. And so this period of anticipation is a lot of fun. I look forward to actually seeing the new characters, new costumes, new sets. But I also hope that even though that brief summary is fairly sparse on detail, and fairly open in terms of the way it can be interpreted and executed, I'm hoping that this series does still have a strong tie back to the Star Wars universe, that we see recognizable elements in terms of costumes and just background and feel.
This Instagram post does confirm a few fan speculations, or the rumor mills, as the director Jon Favreau, as fans of the Clone Wars will know, he voiced a prominent Mandalorian character called Pre Vizsla in the series. So fans wondered whether he would take that sort of inspiration and do something with a Mandalorian theme. So this post certainly seems to confirm that. It's interesting to note that no gender is specified. They only refer to the Mandalorian. So this could be a man or a woman. And it's interesting to see that they don't say bounty hunter specifically, like we've come to sort of assume with the connection to Jango and Boba Fett. So it'll be interesting to see how they play this. Is this going to be slightly more of a sort of fringe element? Is it going to be a true bounty hunter? Are they going to work with the remnants of the Empire like we see Boba Fett decades before? Are we going to see possibly familiar locations like Tatooine, or are they going to try and stick to new places?
All very open-ended at this point. They could go in many, many different directions.
I can't wait till we start getting the first sort of imagery, you know, officially released images and things like that, and getting a little bit more information. That's when the excitement, I think, really starts to ramp up, when you start to visualize what these characters are going to look like and actually see the environments that they're going to be in, and seeing, we haven't seen a Star Wars live action series before. This is going to be the first taste of like what sort of production quality it's going to have, whether it's going to compete at a level with the special effects and costumes of landmark series like Game of Thrones. So it's going to be really neat to watch this as it progresses.
So Ron Howard started quite a good trend of releasing information and behind-the-scenes photographs and visual information through his social media. I'd really be quite keen and happy if Disney and Jon Favreau did that with a slightly more frequent tempo. I remember back to the olden days of StarWars.com Hyperspace and the way that they released the lots of teaser images around the time of the prequel trilogy.
For fans that would remember, and for those that perhaps didn't, in the lead up, especially to episode 3, they released a behind the scenes picture once a week and sort of a very short caption, but basically gave no information about what was in the picture. They did things like weapons and helmets or background extras, and you had no idea about how prominent this character was, anything about them, name or storyline and stuff like that. And it was vague enough so that you weren't getting spoiled for story or characters, but still tangible enough that it felt like you were getting sort of this drip feed of information that kind of kept the anticipation. And if you certainly hung out in the hyperspace sort of section of StarWars.com in that era, they even had a webcam that was live streaming in little still shots that would update every couple of seconds. It wasn't true video, but they would have these webcams on the episode 3 sets. So you're watching at the certain time, you'd see certain actors or George Lucas walk by. And it was just this sort of really fun glimpse into the behind the scenes without giving too much away. And it's kind of a shame that these modern eras, we don't really get much of anything apart from, you know, the leaked spy photos that most people that are trying to stay spoiler-free generally avoid because they could potentially give away something
too much, yeah.
too much. But the kind of official sort of drip-fed information from Lucasfilm was always just enough. It didn't give anything away, but you still felt like you were sort of following along with the progress of making the film. So it would be neat to see if they ever did that for things like the TV series, or whether they're going to keep up with this, you're not going to see anything official until the first trailer drops.
Yeah.
Because this is a TV series. We don't know if they'll follow the same sort of trailer cadence like they do for movies.
No, quite possibly not. So many fans will remember that sort of hyperspace era. It was a subtle way to build up the hype, but I think it was quite effective at and engaging. And there's a few different ways to do it these days. But like I say, I would not be displeased if the tempo of information release was a little more built up. I just do enjoy this point in time, this experience of anticipation. It takes me back even to the late 70s and the era in the 80s when the movies were spaced 3 years apart, and it was obviously very pre-internet at that point. The only way to get information was from newspapers or magazines, and seeing a new photo of a new character or a new behind-the-scenes shot or a new actual publicity still from The Empire Strikes Back or The Return of the Jedi in advance of it coming out was a big deal. And that'd be great to be able to sort of recapture that promotional experience. So just to recap, the Jon Favreau live-action television series seems to be called The Mandalorian. It will focus on a yet unnamed Mandalorian. We don't know if that Mandalorian is going to be one we're familiar with, related to one we're familiar with. We don't even know if it's going to be male or female, all very open-ended. We'll see how that pans out. Hopefully this is the start of the information cascade. So that's been quite a lot of news this week. There's a few store reports that we should touch on of significance. Solo: A Star Wars Story obviously came out on DVD and Blu-ray in the past week. The main retailers that it seems to be available at are Mighty Ape, JB Hi-Fi, and The Warehouse. On SWNZ, we have put price comparison of all the different versions. There's four versions at most of those retailers. JB Hi-Fi has five versions because they have a Steelbook edition. You can get a standard DVD, a standard Blu-ray, 3D Blu-ray, and UHD Blu-ray for the four different versions. But on SWNZ, we've got price comparisons between each of those different retailers. There is a small bit of a price spread. It's fairly tightly clustered. And if you choose to go through Mighty Ape, you can price match. They will price match against any of the other retailers. One store report that caught a lot of attention, both locally and even internationally, because it seemed to show up in New Zealand quite promptly compared to international release, the life-size or near-life-size Lego Porg, that's set number 75230, is available at The Warehouse now for $94. This is a articulated Porg figure with flapping wings and moving mouth, and it even comes with a little Porg minifigure and a display base and display plaque.
Also at The Warehouse, if you're thinking about Christmas already, they have a Star Wars themed Christmas stocking and Christmas hat that has the phrase "Merry Force be with you." These retail for $9 each, so you can stock up early and spread some Star Wars in your Christmas cheer.
Okay, it's been a great week for Star Wars news, I think, and the next little while, in fact, over the weekend, we're going to be seeing quite a bit more information, including Hasbro potentially action figure information coming out, so we'll have quite a bit more to talk about next week as well. But for now, thank you for listening in. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and for our next weekly podcast. Follow our Facebook page and other social media and chat with other fans in the Star Wars New Zealand Facebook group and website forums at swnzforums.co.nz. Thanks for listening.
May the Force be with you.